Pacifico, Bill Hendrick.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Broadcasting here from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the broadcasting from the shores of the El Pacifico, Phil Hendry. We started our show here on this particular series of airwaves with those words back in June of 2007. And we're still here at the El Pacifico, trying to make hay while the sun shines, and we are still endeavoring to do the very, very best that we can. Our radio show, I'm very happy to say, and I'm very gratified to say, and I don't have any problem saying it, and I don't ever tire of saying it. Our radio show is, it's kind of an interesting thing. When I go out into the world, like today, I had a bunch of great meetings out in the west side of Los Angeles, which is where I live in the area. And I only say that because it seems that every city has its digital area. The digital area of Los Angeles is the west side.
Really?
Yes. And Margaret Gray, by the way, joining us. Margaret, how are you?
Well, I'm good. I want to hear about your meeting.
Well, I had some meetings today with some very, very interesting and exciting people. And who are they? Well, they're people that are involved in what is happening in the electronic media today. And that is something called digital. It's something called internet. It's something called downloads. It's something called the live podcast and the recorded podcast. It's something called the synergy between live performance and the podcasting of that performance and the digital storage of performances, advertising, and marketing. In other words, what I'm trying to say to you is this, and I've been sounding this warning in my own way, and, you know, to the extent that, you know, I'm not supposed to be doing this, I'm just telling you about my world. I'm just telling you about my life. I'm telling you about my world. This is what, this is all I know. I can come on here and I can lie to you. I can lie like a million other guys have done today to you and tell you all about President Obama and how he's screwing up the country. I can lie to you the way a million other guys have lied to you today and tell you that. What do you mean lied to us, Phil? Well, those guys aren't going to be honest with you. They're not going to actually, they're not going to actually deliver a performance. What they're going to do is they're going to tell you what basically they think that you want to hear, which is beat the hell up on Obama, talk about what a douchebag he is, what a lousy president he is, how Romney is this, Romney's that. I mean, I'm just saying, I'm not saying because I'm an Obama supporter. I just happen to know the direction that talk radio goes in, or excuse me, spoken word. I know the direction it's going in these days, and it's got this, it's the most formulaic thing that you have ever had to suffer through in your life, and that it's called conservative radio. That basically means that that's what talk radio is. Okay, is it very creative? Of course not. Are the people that are doing it any good, with the exception of one or two? No, not only are they not any good, they should be doing something else for a living. They shouldn't be allowed anywhere near a microphone. 95% of them shouldn't even be allowed in a radio station. Mike Huckabee's doing a show. Fred Thompson did a show. They let anybody in the world near a microphone now, and what's the end result? Well, radio is losing money. It's going in the toilet as we speak. And meanwhile, today, I'm talking to guys in their 30s and 40s, young men, executives, who are talking to me about the world that they're involved in. It's got nothing to do with radio. There's 40 million people listening to podcasts in the United States, and it's getting bigger as we speak. There's cats in radio right now that are crawling on over broken glass to get to the doorsteps of these guys to say, please save me. What am I going to do, man, if I, what am I going to do if I lose my talk show? What's going to happen if there's no radio stations left? I mean, this is the kind of fear that is happening right now as we speak. And I realize as I'm talking this way, it's like a poor man's Howard Beale, you know.
I was going to say it sounds exactly like Howard Beale talking on the TV show that he did, you know.
In Network, yeah.
Yes, he was on the TV show and he was talking about the bad corporate moves that his company was making.
Yeah.
And then what do you think happened?
They had him killed.
Yes, they had him killed.
Well, I don't think that's going to happen. Are you kidding?
Wait, what are you talking about?
Well, I can repeat it if you want me to, but what happened was Howard Beale told the truth in the movie Network.
Yes, in other words, it's a movie, bud. It never really happened.
Yeah.
And Howard Beale is the hero of this movie who goes on TV and he tells the audience what's exactly going on. He's talking about the machinations and the bullcrap at the corporate level. He's talking about who's buying the stock of the company. He's talking about basically who's controlling the editorial content of the news division of UBS, this fictitious network. It was written by Paddy Chayefsky. It was a very prescient. It predicted where television was going to go. So what's your point?
Well, my point is this, and again, you can take it and go with it anywhere you want. But Howard Beale got on television and he told the truth, and he wound up being shot and killed.
Well, I mean, he's talking about the truth.
Well, what do you think, Phil?
What are you giving me that look for? Are you trying to tell me you're serious?
Phil, all I'm doing is I'm bringing to your attention what happened in that film.
So are you telling me that my life is at risk somehow?
I don't know.
Okay, let me do this, all right?
Well, I mean, what's he talking about?
Take it easy. Let me just say this to you, Margaret. I guarantee you, no, it isn't. I guarantee you, no, it isn't.
Well, you remember Alan Berg, all right?
Well, let's not talk about Alan Berg. Or Alan Berg was a talk show host from Denver who got shot and killed by a bunch of right-wing fascist Nazis, not by a corporate hit squad, you know?
Well, but the point is, people can be targeted, and the police may be led to believe that it was a right-wing group or some militia. That was, I think, those were the people that killed Alan Berg, weren't they?
Well, the people that killed Alan Berg were a fascist. They were a Nazi. Yeah, they were a small cell of an offshoot or some kind of a group that broke off from Aryan Nation. So what are you saying? So in other words, they're...
Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm saying that the police could be led to believe that someone is gunned down by a right-wing militia when in point of fact, yes, it's a corporate hit squad.
Why would anybody take the time to shoot and kill Phil Henry? What I'm saying here on the air tonight...
Phil, people respect you because you are very honest. Now, you know some of the people that were writing last week when your name was mentioned in the radio press, a lot of those people started their articles by saying Phil Henry, not one to hold back his opinion.
Yeah, I know. And a lot of those guys were writing that because they're very uncomfortable writing that kind of stuff. These radio writers, I'm telling you, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I'm not going to pull any punches here.
That I think that was Freudian. You're not going to be honest. Now you want to pull back.
Margaret, listen to me. Those guys in the radio press are uncomfortable writing stuff like that. They don't want to write stuff like that. It puts them at odds with the corporation people. It puts them at odds with the programmers and the general managers. It puts them at odds with the CEOs. It means they don't get an interview with Joe Douche, the head of the Douche Broadcasting Company, you know. It means they got to talk to talent, which is never, in their opinion, a A-list interview. In the world of the radio press, the A-list interview is with some guy who thinks that the sun rises and sets on his own ass, like a guy like Mel Karmazin. Now, what do I do? I'm looking at an industry that's going to hell in a handcart, and so I tell a little bit of truth, and I'm not supposed to do that. That's what you're telling me.
No, Phil, I didn't say you're not supposed to do it. I'm just saying that there are people out there...
I know, that are going to... It'll impact my career.
No, I'm saying that there are people in the corporate world that could have you killed. Quite literally.
Well, I think you need a vacation.
Yeah, that's nuts.
Oh, I need... Excuse me, what do you know about it?
Me?
Yes, you.
I just think that's nuts.
Well, I'm telling you, Phil, you can tell me that I need a vacation. But when you brought up the name Howard Beale, I didn't bring it up. You did.
And I'm going to be shot and killed by the corporate interests in radio. Because of what? Because of why? Because I said what?
Because you're on the air talking about, number one, I heard what you said about these FM news talk stations that have morning news blocks. They sound like your grandmother's AM station. What's the point? Do you honestly think people want that being said about their stations?
Maybe they don't. Maybe they don't. But maybe I have a right to say that, because I'm getting sick and tired of being shoehorned into these stations that have news blocks in the morning and news block in the afternoon and news, and oh yeah, by the way, here's this weirdo Phil Hendry, and good luck, Phil, pulling an audience on a radio station that calls itself news. There's no thought, there's no creativity, there's no programming there, there's no marketing there, you're not taking into consideration anything about the show that I do, not at all. All you do is it's a very perfunctory and pedestrian way of approaching a radio show like mine. Say, well, you know, we're going to stick you on that station. Okay, fine, great. Now what, you've done your job? Good for you. Want me to pat you on the head and say, what a fantastic job you did. You cut some deal six ways to sunset, and you promised somebody this and that and something else. You got my show on a radio station that's a news station. I've been talking about this for 20 years, and you want me to be happy about this.
I'm telling you that those people are going to consider you to be very ungrateful.
Ungrateful? What favor have they done me?
They've gotten you on these radio stations, Phil.
They've gotten me on a radio station where I'm going to get bounced in a few months because, oh, wow, that's really... People don't get it. They don't get it because you ain't explained it to them. They don't get it because you don't get it. They don't get it because you have stuck it in the middle of a radio station that's a news station. That's why they don't get it. Do you guys get it? Have you got it figured out?
You could be killed.
What?
You could be killed.
Oh, get out of here, will you? Don't mind on that.
All right. Well, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, I know, Margaret. You're just telling me. You're just saying, hey, that's, that could very well happen. That could very well be the case, and it ain't going to happen. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about things that are, a little bit more sensible, if you don't mind. Thank you very much. Stuff in the news. Let's find out if Romney's pissed off anybody today. Let's find out if Romney has shoved another foot into his face. Let's find out if Obama's done that. Let's find out if there's anything out there in this mad, mad, mad world of ours that we can point at and go, ha, 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 ha. Okay, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Get away with what?
That, what you just did while we were in a commercial break. I can't believe it.
Well, I did it, okay?
That's great. I loved it. Yeah, but he needs to, cut loose a little bit.
Cut loose? He was using every vulgarity in the... I can't believe you said some of the things you said.
Well, I said them to my subscribers. I didn't say them on the airwaves. I didn't say them across the fruited plain, as some of these guys call it. Some of these marvelous... talk show host. I said it to my subscribers on Phil TV.
I think, Phil, I swear to God, you are, remember when we were children, our parents used to say you're cruising for a bruising. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that. It's like kind of a long time ago and really sort of lame.
It's kind of a long time ago and really sort of lame. Phil,
Margaret, what is your point?
My point is this. You're cruising for a bruising.
All right, you have already said that, you know, you think somebody in the corporate hallways of radio is going to have me killed. And if you keep on talking about it, I'm going to start thinking maybe you're the one.
Oh, my God. What did you just say?
I'm going to start thinking you're the one.
How could I? Why would you think that?
Because you won't shut up about it. You know, you won't. You're not shutting up about it. You're just... I said what I said, and that's all there is. That's all there is to it. And if you want to compare it to Howard Beale, which I would never do, you know, people are open to the truth. But they are not open to truth if it is not very elegantly delivered. And I realize that a lot of the stuff I'm doing here is I'm just raving like a lunatic, okay? I get that. But I am talking about something that I know a lot about. I'm not just sounding off about things that I don't have a working knowledge of. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know I'm talking about my profession, my industry. Now, some people say, wow, Phil, you really care about the industry. No, I don't. I don't care. I could care less about the industry. I couldn't care less whether it goes up in smoke tomorrow. What I care about is me. I care about me. Insofar as the radio industry supports what I do, yeah, I care about the industry. But I'll tell you right now, if I was working on TV, if I didn't have to, I couldn't give a damn whether radio, every transmitter blew up tomorrow. It doesn't make any difference to me. You know, I've already made it really clear. I mean, it's a sad reality. I make all my money online, man. I don't make any money in radio. Are you kidding? This guy's all over the radio business right now. Morning drive guys getting their salaries cut by 60%. 60%. You want to know why? Is it because they suck? No, it's because the radio aristocracy blundered their way into this big black hole, this financial black hole from which they cannot extract themselves. They continue to keep making the same mistakes.
Look, here's a story here I want you to read, and I want you to take this into consideration because in a lot of ways, this is really what you're fooling with, Phil, and I...
Let me see it.
Don't take that from my hand, bud. Don't ever do that, please.
Bud, don't, let me, what is it?
I just want to make sure she's not canning you.
Handing him what?
Just, Mr. Henry, you're seeing Mr. Henry in a lot of stuff, and I want to make sure you're not handing him, like,
what?
Like, maybe a bomb or...
A bomb? Oh, my God, I think I'm going to streak.
Oh, what do you mean streak?
That is absolutely precious. A bomb. I'm going to hand that to Phil. A bomb. My God, I'm going to have to take my slacks off just to check.
Okay, Margaret, you know...
I'm not going to do it here. Boy, you wish.
You know, I got to tell you, it's been a real ball having you here, but I'm going to have to throw you out, you know.
Throw me out? I did not remove my slacks. I'm making a joke. I'm saying that he's so funny that I would be momentarily incontinent. Do you understand?
Yes, I understand. You didn't even need to explain it that much.
Look at all the news here. Why is everything crumpled up?
Because every time I try to go to read something, I got Bud grabbing it out of my hands. All right, now look. Here's the article. You just handed me this. New French cartoons inflame profit film tensions. France stepped up security Wednesday at its embassies across the Muslim world after a French satirical weekly revived a formula that is already used to capture attention, publishing crude, lewd caricatures of Islam's prophet, Muhammad. Why did you give me this?
Because, Phil, this is exactly what you're messing with. I'm not saying you're messing with the Prophet Muhammad. I'm not saying that you are doing anything against Islam. I am not saying that you are doing anything against the Prophet, blessed be his name. I'm not saying that you're doing anything against, may God bless him.
Will you knock it off with that, okay?
Why? Why should I knock it off?
Because people are going to think that you're being a smartass.
I am not. I'm trying to be respectful.
Well, don't do it.
Oh, well, yes, sir, Mr. Henry. I walk. Oh, my God.
Well, you know, you shouldn't be able to do what Mr. Henry says.
Bud, why don't you get your lips off of the you-know-what and come on in for the big win? Become a part of the team, all right? Take your lips off.
All right, Margaret, I don't want you talking to him like I'm not here and turning him against me, especially with the whole take your lips off the you-know-what and come on in for the big win.
Yeah, Rick, you sound weird.
I'm just saying, there's bigger fish to fry and there are broader horizons, Bud, for you than standing around and holding a towel to his ass.
Oh, man!
Well, this is why you have me in here, for the honesty and to be able to articulate some of these things that you're afraid to articulate, and I'm sorry, but I have to do that.
Margaret, you just got done telling me that my life's in danger, that I might be shot by members of the corporate aristocracy, I think you put it, of radio, because I'm being so honest, and yet I'm not saying some things that I should say.
What I'm trying to tell you is this. Admit to the fact that what you have done is risked your life. It is no different making fun of radio than making fun of Muslims. And that's my point. And
so making fun of people in radio is the same as making fun of Muslims because why?
Because they are that thin-skinned. All right, there, I said it. And I think you're in danger.
We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. We're going to get Harvey Wireman on the line.
Why do you need him?
None of your business. I'm going to get him on the line if you don't mind.
Why?
I'm not going to tell you why. I'm putting him on the air.
Why?
Phil Henry.
Never. I'm not answering you.
Why?
I'm not answering you.
Famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show here. Anger over the film Innocence of Muslims has fueled violent protests from Asia to Africa in the Lebanese port city of Tyree.
I don't know. I think it's pronounced Tira or Tiriha.
Well, I mean, do you know?
I don't know for sure, but it, spell it.
I'm sorry?
Spell it.
T-Y-R-E.
Yes, that's the Lebanese?
That's a Lebanese port city, yeah.
That would be, you'd pronounce that, most likely you would pronounce that T-Y-E or T-Y-E.
Margaret, I don't know how do you pronounce that? What is that?
I just told you. What is the problem?
I don't know how to pronounce T-Y-E. I can't.
I'm giving you the French, if you don't mind.
All right, everything with you is the French. I don't understand that.
The French pronunciation here is applicable in that there was a French colony at that time in Lebanon when that city was founded. Additionally, we are talking about a French publication that has published these pictures of the Holy Prophet, blessed be his presence.
You're not a Muslim, and you're pandering to the Muslim sensibility by making these. Do you know what you're saying?
I most certainly do, Phil. I'm very offended by that.
What, you're offended by what?
You're making me sound as if I'm one of these fumbling, stumbling housewives that's, you know, frightened for their family, and so they're on TV saying, "Oh, I love the Islams," and You know how they sound? You've heard them on Oprah.
No, I haven't heard them, and I don't know what you're talking about. I'm simply saying to you that when you say, that sounded to me like you were pandering, you know?
No, I don't know what you mean.
You're going like, oh, blessed be the name.
That's what you do when you have a religion like this,
See, you can't even remember the name of the religion. What makes you think that anybody that is a Muslim is going to think you're being respectful?
I know that it's called Islam, but the people that practice it are sometimes known as Slams or Slams, as well as Muslims.
That's impossible.
Why is that impossible?
Because that sounds ridiculous.
Where are you getting this information?
You know something? Forget it.
I mean, I'm just curious.
Forget it. You guys go ahead and stumble along with this story, and you're already targeted, Phil, by a significant faction of radio management for the things you've said. Go ahead and make yourself a big target for those in slum that are...
For those in slum, I think you are saying that on purpose to make fun of the name.
My God, no, I am not. If anything, my credentials have borne out that I would never do something like that.
Well, then I've never heard it called slum. I've heard Islam. I've heard Islam.
Islam? Oh, what a... Well, you don't want me to say Gloyd.
No, I don't want you to say Gloyd. In any event, anger over the film Innocence of Muslims has fueled violent protests across the Middle East. Tens of thousands of people marched in the streets in Lebanon, chanting, "Oh, America, you are God's enemy." Worried France might be targeted, the government ordered its embassies, cultural centers, schools, and America? Why are they... because of that movie.
Yes, not the French newspapers.
Okay. Warned that France might be targeted, the government ordered its embassies, cultural centers, schools, and other official sites to close on Friday, the Muslim holy day. in 20 countries. It also immediately shut down its embassy and the French school in Tunisia, the site of deadly protests at the U.S. embassy last week. The French foreign ministry issued a travel warning urging French citizens in the Muslim world to exercise caution. This controversy could prove tricky for France, which has struggled to integrate its Muslim population, Western Europe's largest. Many Muslims believe the Prophet Muhammad should not be depicted at all, even in a flattering way, because it might encourage idolatry. You know what the problem is here?
What?
The problem is that unlike France, Britain, I'll reverse that. The problem is that unlike America, a country that was formed because of a concept of law, or somebody said once, and I think it bears repeating, America is the first country ever intentionally founded on a good idea.
What's that mean?
It meaning this. France came out of the tribal peoples that inhabited Gaul, who eventually were brought together forcibly by a series of rulers, some kings, others emperors, Charlemagne the most significant, who brought together the people and formed a nation. Britain, the same way, an island of tribes, an island of different cultures brought together by a series of very powerful rulers. I'm not just talking about Rome now, I'm talking about the actual natives of the island. Every country in the world has deeper cultural roots than they do legal roots, except for one, America.
What about Canada?
Yeah, well,
you talk about Canada, might as well say America.
Well, don't say that too loud.
That's very insulting. That's very...
What is?
You don't say when you talk about America, that's Canada. You don't...
All right, we're sorry, Margaret, you know.
Well, don't look at me like I'm the pain-in-the-ass liberal, okay?
Well, I mean...
The shoe fits! What did you say?
Nothing.
He said if the shoe fits.
And I'm not allowed to slap his face, is that right?
No, you're not. Yesterday you strangled him. So, no, we'd rather...
Boy, you got off. You got off today, bud, but tomorrow's a new day.
Yeah.
Anyway, and what's happening in France, and the reason why they and Britain have a difficult time struggling to integrate a lot of the peoples that arrive there is because there is a deeper tradition of tribe, of culture, of religion, of dress. There is a deeper tradition of those things in those countries than there is the Magna Carta, believe it or not. I mean, the Magna Carta, we're going back a long time. There's no question. The British people are probably the single most people most inculcated. And
what's that mean?
The people who are the most used to the rule of law, the British people in that country, because they have lived with the law, beginning with Magna Carta and on down through the centuries. But still, in all, man, it is a nation that, like other nations in Europe, other nations in Asia, other nations around the world, has deeper roots when it comes to the cultural ties and the tribal ties. So I think it's hard for a country like France or Britain to say, well, hey, welcome to our country and welcome to France, the rights of man and, you know, the French, vive la, the revolution and down with Marie Antoinette and all that bullcrap. Because really, you know, the French people see a history much deeper than that. It goes back way farther, and it goes back to the times of the Holy Roman Empire, and it goes way back to the times of when everybody was speaking Latin, and it goes back to a time when the priests ruled the country. And it, you know, so what are you exactly saying? How do you say with any authenticity to a Muslim, you know, we want to make you a part of France? Where is that, you know, really strong national identity? And I know if I was saying this to French people, they'd probably look at me and say, what are you talking about, man? We are really proud of our, you know.
Yeah, they got that whole, what is that?
They have, yes, thank you, Robert. They have the Le Marseillais. You know the Le Marseillais, right?
No, Margaret, if you're doing the French.
It's the national anthem of, oh, my God.
You know, da-da-da-da-da.
Here, da-da-da. Get out of there, bud.
Phil, it goes like this. Can I sing a few bars?
This is what?
It's the national anthem of France. It is the most widely recognized national anthem in the world.
Even more than the Star-Spangled Banner, the Star Spangled Banner.
You said Star Strangled Banner.
Yes, well.
Yeah, well, that was appropriate, seeing what happened on these airwaves yesterday.
That was unnecessary.
All right, I'm sorry.
The Le Marseillais is the French national anthem, and it goes like this. I don't know the words. The words are not important. The words are important, but they're not important. You know what I mean? So imagine standing there, a very proud Frenchman, and you're about to have a bayonet thrust through your abdomen for doing some ridiculous, I don't know, escaping Devil's Island or something.
What did he do wrong?
It's what French people do. They get executed, but before that they sing.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of movies.
Yes, they sing the song. So you're standing there and you're about to have your head cut off because you offended a queen. I don't know. And la 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 la. I need some water, but you hear what I'm saying?
I hear the melody.
Well, why are you looking so shocked? Phil, you don't need the words. Imagine how stirringly proud a Frenchman is when he hears, oh, hold on. I need water, please. Can I have water before I continue?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, Margaret, I know what it is.
You know what?
It goes dun 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 dun.
Oh my God.
That's bad, Mr. Henry.
No, it doesn't go that. No. Nobody stands around, Phil, as if they have some sort of a spasm, some kind of a mechanical or musculature problem, a spasm. Okay, you understand?
Yeah.
No one stands around going, da-da-da-da-da-da, like they're waving their arms around like Jerry Lewis with muscular sclerosis or multiple...
Multiple dystrophy.
Every time we have this discussion, you always get it wrong, bud.
What?
Multiple dystrophy. It's multiple muscular dystrophy, multiple sclerosis.
What did I say?
You butchered it.
Oh, I butchered it. Well... The song, thank you for the water, Robert.
You're welcome.
The song goes like this. This is a wonderful national anthem.
Okay.
Hold on for a minute. That's a little light thing that I did, but I love to take national anthems and give them a little bit of a skip because they should be light, you know.
All right, can we...
Would you hold on, please? Good God, this is their national anthem.
I apologize.
Have some respect.
Yeah, Miss Grant, it's a good point.
Thank you, bud. That's a little something that I did.
Yeah.
La. Now here comes the skip to three and do 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 do. You see what I mean? So that gives it the lilt that you need, and I think the French people really need that now more than ever before, as their journalists and indeed some of their citizens are torched alive in their cars by Muslim terrorists. Phil,
Oh, God, Margaret. Okay, I get it.
Well, what is your problem?
My problem is the graphic nature of things that you describe. All right, folks, let's take a break. Thank you, Margaret, for the rendering of the French national anthem. It is, you're right, a very proud anthem. I don't know that you did it any good there.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, the whole do-do-do-do-do-do. I don't know, you know.
Phil, you really do look ridiculous with your arms going, ugh. You look like you've got a spasm. You know,
all right, thank you. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about these terrible times that the French journalists and satirists are going through. I stand with all satirists. Phil Hendry Show stands with the satirists of France. I won't be traveling there anytime soon, but I understand where you cats are coming from. Vive la France. Kick ass. Up the French Foreign Legion. Hey!
Truth. He's
what
our
a fascist!
Bitch.
You know that,
what's the
that?
Phil Hendry Show.
Well, that was very fascist. Don't you think that was rather fascist?
No, it wasn't fascist. You know, this is the kind of stuff that I, you know...
Oh, Phil, don't be a hero. You know, you have this tendency you want to be a hero.
Yeah, don't... Remember the song, Billy, Don't Be a Hero? Remember that one, Mr. Henry?
Yes, unfortunately, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Because it was a stupid song. What about it?
Well, that B, Don't Be a Hero.
I think Bud is making a good point. You don't want to be a hero. I know you. You want to be Mr. Solidarity with all of the humorists and satirists all over the world and say, oh, I'm going to stand with the French satirists.
Well, I think somebody's got to say something. I think, I don't understand. I grew up in a time when I was in high school and I was a kid coming up. We had all of these really brave people. We had a lot of brave people that were speaking out. Yeah, okay, they might have been politically opposed to the war in Vietnam. But it wasn't so much it wasn't really what they were saying. It was the fact that they were saying it. It was the fact that they were standing up and they were appealing to people's intellect and good sense. They were a well-spoken people, and this was during the period. Martin Luther King, you know, we can talk about Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther King, but even in his own way, in his own time, and in, you know, in his own, for his own people, Barry Goldwater, who people call the father of modern conservatism. So what I'm saying is there were a lot of very brave people who spoke out when we needed people to speak out. And, man, I don't see that happening at all in our country.
What about President Obama speak out?
I haven't heard President Obama speak out about this. I've heard him say, well, you know, it's kind of a drag, man. And, you know, Jay Carney said...
No, excuse me, Phil. You're talking about my president, all right? Do you mind?
Excuse me. I've got the floor.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and listen to you mischaracterize... He didn't say, oh, wow, man. You know?
No, I didn't. I don't mean that. But I heard Jay Carney, the press secretary, say, yeah, we believe in free speech because it's in the Constitution, but... Remember what I said last week? The real answer comes after the word but, okay?
No, I don't. I don't hang on your every word like a lot of your listeners. And I don't know what that means. The real word... The what? The real answer comes after the but.
Yeah, that's what he said. Real answer... You see, you got to look at a person...
Shut up, will you, bud, and grow up? I'm talking about you can give somebody an answer. Someone can say to you, oh, yes, Margaret, we believe in free speech. We believe, but... So you can throw out the whole first part of that.
Why do you say that?
Because they've done this perfunctory and almost obligatory and patronizing, oh, sure, we believe in free speech, and we always have, ba-ba-ba-ba-boom-ba-boom. Like, you know, they've done their duty for God and man, and they've now very successfully duped you and have successfully confused you, and they've got you thinking in the direction that they want you to be thinking in, so now they can drop the truth on you, which is, yes, we believe in free speech, but we don't think in this case it's so prudent, or whatever the hell these guys say. So no, I have not heard President Obama. I haven't heard Mitt Romney, you know.
I thought I saw Mitt Romney say a thing.
Well, I don't know about Mitt Romney.
You know, here's the thing. Today, brave talk passes as this. If Romney or Obama were to say, that's really bad and they shouldn't do that, that would pass as some kind of really eloquent speech. But one of the most disappointing things was the murder of the young man who was the heir to the Van Gogh, one of the Van Gogh family heirs. He was, I forget his name, forgive me, but he was a filmmaker in the Netherlands. And his great-grandfather, I believe, or his great-great-granduncle was Vincent Van Gogh, the famous painter. He was murdered by a Muslim terrorist because he had made a film that exposed, to his way of thinking, ill-treatment by Muslim men of Muslim women. He made this film, and as you can imagine, in Europe, the proximity of people and the proximity of these cultures in countries where, as I said, they have no real deep history of law as much as they have a very deep history of tribe and language and culture, and, you know, cats are going to get really offended. And
so you're saying what? He made this movie, and what happened?
He was murdered. He was shot and killed. And I didn't hear anybody in the film business in Europe, although it might have happened in Europe. I didn't hear anybody in the film business here. I didn't hear anybody say, what a disgrace. Because we don't have that kind of courage. And I'm not saying it just about the left either, man. I don't see any guts on the right side of the fence either. All right, I think we probably talked as much about this as we possibly can, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so, man, because you keep on talking about it.
Well, Phil has a death wish. He wants to talk about radio some more, and all of those suits are going to be sitting there, and they're going to get out. I don't even want to.
They're going to get out what? Go ahead, you might as well finish it.
Phil, there are men in very expensive suits tonight who have gone out of their way to purchase switch knives, to purchase zip guns.
You get out of here.
What zip gun?
It's a homemade gun. Why would they what are you talking about?
So you can't trace them. My God. So you're that brain dead.
So there's general managers of radio stations with zip guns and what else?
Never mind.
Zip guns and switch knives.
Switchblades and zip guns. What is this, Dino, 1958? I'm going to go rumble with these guys. I'll be right back.
You know what? I hope you live a long life, but when you do die, happily with your family around you, you suddenly open your eyes and there is hell. All right? There's the street sign. Hell. Entrance around
Phil
back.
Hendry.
Right?
I get the idea.
No, I don't think you do get the idea.
Shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and what are you looking at, bud?
That's when the spaceship blew up.
I told him I don't like it. It's disturbing.
Well, what is that?
That's they're showing about when they went to the moon and everything that blowed up.
When they went to the moon, everything that blowed up, huh? So this, in other words, is...
This, Phil, that is the Challenger, for God's sake. Why are we being forced to look at that?
No, that's not the Challenger.
Yeah, I think I know what I'm looking at when I see the Challenger blowing up.
Then why would they have John Glenn sitting there smiling and laughing?
I don't know, because, well, he's a Democrat, isn't he?
Oh, he's a Democrat, so it must be okay.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did. You're saying John Glenn. Who's John Glenn?
John Glenn's an astronaut, man. He was an astronaut. He orbited the Earth.
What do you mean, orbited?
Orbited. O-R-B-I-T-E-D.
You didn't say that. You said orbited.
No, it sounded like orbited, Phil.
Oh, okay. It sounded like orbited. All right. I'm sorry, guys. It's orbited, not orbited. If I'd said orbited, do you know what that means?
No.
Okay. So it wouldn't have mattered. I could have said orbited. I could have said orbited. I could have said borbited.
But I'm orbit.
Yeah, well, if you said orbited, I would have understood, because that's an Eddie Murphy movie. But you didn't say that.
What are you crying for? Look at this guy.
You have spoiled these guys rotten with your explaining everything to these two imbeciles whose heads are, they're much like the ping pong ball. There is a firmness and a resilience, and yet the emptiness is so cold and lonely, you know?
Yeah, okay, Margaret, that's great.
What is it with you? Every time I say something, you lunge back in your seat, grab a piece of paper, and go, okay, Margaret. What is that?
Because I want to cut you off and I want to just move. All right, I want to move and I want to groove and I want to get into the hour and I don't want a whole lot of blah, 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 because we're starting to do that. All right, so I had to explain to these guys what orbit means. It ain't Norbit and it ain't Warbit. I had to tell them who John Glenn was. And I also had to explain to you that that wasn't the Challenger blowing up. Just so I could get into this hour, just so I could begin to get Harvey on the line.
Oh, I didn't. Is Harvey way? Is he holding on?
Yes, we've got Harvey hanging on.
All right, Phil, but you know something? I just want to say one thing. Yeah, what you just said there, basically this, I had to explain to everyone how I'm right and they're wrong.
Yeah, that's what you did do.
You know? Oh, okay, Margaret. Well, you know, every hour I've got to explain how I'm right and everyone's wrong.
Well, in this instance, I was right.
What's that chimpanzee doing?
That's what they put up in outer space before they put anybody in outer space.
They put a monkey in there?
Yeah, they put a monkey in there.
That's what they did, and I don't approve of it, but apparently they felt that the animal, the chimpanzee, would be better at course correction. I don't know what that was about.
Wait. No, 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 no.
Yes, yes, yes. The monkey that they put into space, they felt would be better at firing course-correcting jets than a human. And
how could a monkey be better at that than a human being?
Because if you think about it, Phil, a monkey is a dumb animal that will take direction. It will take direction. You tell a monkey to do something, it does it. You tell a human being to do something, and there's 500 different ways the human being will do it.
Well, human beings can also take direction. Human beings may freelance, but when you tell them this is how I want it done, they'll do it.
Really? Are you sure?
Yes, I'm sure. You're talking about men that were in the military. You're talking about Navy pilots, Marine pilots. They're saying, okay, you do this. You don't do that, you don't fly again.
Big wow.
Yeah, but why is that going to be anything, a big deal?
These guys live to fly in the space mission. That was their whole point. Didn't you read the right stuff?
Yeah, I read part of it, and then I believe I threw it into our swimming pool. It was so deadly dull. So, yes, I read part of it until I threw it into our pool.
Oh, well, that was... Okay, great. Well, if you'd continued reading it, Margaret, even though it was deadly dull, you would have found out that the right stuff is what they called what a guy had when he was a great pilot. And they wanted to test the right stuff. They wanted to know if they had the right stuff. And the only way they knew is if they continued to test themselves against the most sophisticated and advanced vehicles that flew. And for test pilots, for guys that flew for a living, the furthest edge of experimental aircraft, the furthest edge that a pilot could take himself was into the space program. They wanted to be on board that rocket as it was taking off. That was the next step. And they made a whole big thing, or Tom Wolfe made a whole big thing in the book about how Chuck Yeager and those guys up at Muroc Air Base felt suddenly left out. They felt like they'd blown it. They felt like they'd made a big mistake when they mocked the space program and said those guys were all a bunch of, you know, they were no better than chimpanzees. So,
well, I mean, in a way, they were right, because they were no better than a monkey. A monkey was far superior than Alan Shepard, far superior than Gus Grissom, far superior than John Glenn. And, Phil, if you read the part of the right stuff that I did read, was when Gus Grissom fired the bolts early.
Which has never been proved. That poor man, you know, Gus Grissom lost his life on the launch pad, okay?
Phil, I'm not going to disrespect him. What I'm trying to say to you is this. All right, so the theory is he fired the bolts early. An ape would have had the patience and the good sense to wait for the green light.
You know what, folks? As she said that, she's got a straight face.
Yeah, but what's wrong with it?
An ape would have had the patience and the good sense.
What I'm saying, if you listen to me...
Margaret.
Are you listening to me, please?
Yes.
If you put a monkey, an ape, a baboon, anything, an old world Remus, I don't care what you put in there.
What about a ringtail?
A ringtail, whatever. And you tell it, now, you blow those bolts when I tell you to blow those bolts, because I'll tell you something right now, ape. It's a cold world out there, and it's a one-way ticket back to the jungle. It's a cold world, blood.
Yeah.
It's a cold world, blood. So, making a racial reference, huh?
I beg your pardon.
Is that what you did?
Yes. Yes, she did.
I did not. Excuse me.
Robert, don't.
That pisses me off to say that.
I did not make a racial reference. I said it's a cold world, blood, as in homeboy. Well, I guess that's worse.
Yeah, that is worse. You want to go to the bathroom?
I need to change my tampon, yeah.
Oh, that's just fantastic. Thank you for that.
Well, you deserve it.
She right about a monkey?
No, she's not right about the monkeys. What, are you kidding me or something? Oh, yeah, we'd much rather have an ape in there because he takes direction better. Plus, he'll know when to blow the bolts on that. What happened to Gus Grissom, for you folks that are listening? Gus Grissom, God rest his soul, when he was one of the original Mercury pilots, this is before he and those poor men, the other two astronauts, lost their lives on the launch pad in January of 67. This was part; they were part of Apollo 1. That was the moon phase. He was in Mercury. He landed in the water. Everything was going great. And it has been theorized and sort of immortalized, if you will, in the film that Gus Grissom somehow panicked and blew the explosive bolts on his hatch early, thus allowing seawater to get into the vehicle, and they lost the space capsule. They were able to save Gus Grissom's life, but in the world of science, astronauts, and the very He-Man world of test pilots, it's almost preferable that you drown and you save the vehicle, because that had all of the data. You know, of course they saved his life, and I don't think it's ever been verified, you know.
But I'm saying he's some kind of chicken?
They were basically saying he was a chicken. Yeah, he panicked. He couldn't wait for the guys to give him the heads up. Gus Grissom, for his part, said, no, I did not blow any explosive bolts. They blew on their own. I didn't do anything. I can well imagine them doing that.
Yeah, what do you mean explosive bolt?
This was before somebody had the bright idea, which was basically this. Hey, why don't we make a hatch that you can just release from the inside? You know, why do we have to have explosive bolts? Or on the very, very early versions of the Mercury vehicle, you had to unscrew bolts to, you had to literally take a screwdriver or a torque wrench to get the damn door off. I mean, that's how secure it was. So, you know, I frankly believe Gus Grissom's story that the bolts blew prematurely. I guess it made for a better story that he panicked. It also was a little bit of a stain on his record for a while, but it didn't blow him out of the astronaut corps. He remained in the astronaut corps and eventually, you know, was promoted to the Apollo program, but it was there that...
What do you mean lost his life?
There was a fire.
Oh.
There was a fire in the Apollo vehicle on the launch pad. It was simply a test. They were testing the systems. They were not doing anything other than a dry run. And the wiring, some wiring caught fire. Apparently the oxygen in the capsule itself just went away. It was an oxygen-rich environment, so there was just a flash fire that killed these poor guys, and there you go.
Well, that was a very uplifting story, Mr. Henry.
Yeah, thanks for the smile.
Well, you guys asked me, didn't you? All right, we'll be right back. Is Margaret coming back?
Miss Gray, did you get your tampon?
Would you shut up, please?
But don't ask her that. We'll be right back. Harvey Wehrman coming up to talk with us a little bit more about the world of the... you know, what's happening in France with the Islamic protests, and maybe we'll get a little information from him as well on some other news. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show will be right back.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret.
Yeah, but I think I want to know what you're doing. The audience wants to know.
I'm writing a tweet, if you want to know. I'm writing a tweet.
You're writing a tweet? Why? It looks like you're writing a book.
I'm trying to write a funny tweet, okay? Because Dan just told me about the Space Shuttle Endeavor, folks. For those of you who are looking at Phil TV and HD, I just flashed momentarily there a picture of... the homepage of our website, philhenryshow.com. We encourage you to get a backstage pass and join us online and download over close to 5,000 hours of material of our radio show. 5,000 hours, over 10 years worth of material, as well as video casts, as well as interviews, as well as other webcasts that we've done, as well as our news feed. It's quite a treasure trove of new media, digital media, electronic and broadcast media for you. At philhenryshow.com. Now, what was your question?
My question, and I think the... And by the way, Phil, I've got the lyrics to the Le Mansé, and I would like to sing it before the night is out. Oh, my... What is with the...
Yeah, Murray, that wasn't respectful.
You were not being respectful, Phil.
What is it all of a sudden when you two guys are big fans of hers? What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr. Henry. You've lost your little rooting section. Is that it?
No, well, we still care about Phil, but why don't you do the Marseille?
Thank you very much, Bud. I want to do Le Marseille, and I was led to believe by David J. Hall that I'd be able to do those things without interference from you, if you don't mind.
Yes, I do mind. Everything you do on the airwaves here will be cleared through me.
Of course, Phil. I just simply said that was my... That would be my druther, as they say.
All right. Well, we'll see what we can do. Now, I'm writing a tweet.
Well, what is it?
God, you know, you really...
What is the tweet, for God's sake, or I call up David Hall?
Well, now I'm not going to tell you, okay?
Get a call, because I'm going to call Mr. Hall.
What is it with you guys? All of a sudden, you're going to call Mr. Hall? She's calling the shots around here. What is your tweet? Can't you wait at least until I write it and then get it on the site? Is that okay?
No, I want to know what you're writing in your tweet now.
I'm saying the space shuttle is... I was going to tell you, Margaret, really calmly and not yell, but you're all just, you know...
I'm all what?
You're all like, what are you doing? And, yeah, I don't know.
Oh, that was articulate. God, you know, you sounded like the Hunchback of Notre Dame there. You went...
Yeah, you did, sort of.
You did. You sounded as if you had an ill-formed palate. Did you hear that, Phil? Did you hear yourself do that?
No, I did not, Margaret. Why don't you tell the audience how I sounded like I had a speech impediment, maybe from a cleft palate?
I did not say a cleft palate. I did not say that. All right, if you look at the renderings of the Hunchback of Notre Dame, he didn't have a cleft palate. What he did have was a misshapen nose, which I would think would affect the sinuses. God.
You're the only woman I know that can say completely off-the-wall, weird, and inappropriate stuff, and I feel guilty.
Well, maybe you have a reason to feel guilty.
Anyway, my tweet. The space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street route.
Wait, what was the Dan Northcraft reference?
Dan told me this. He gave me this information.
Do you have to yell?
Yes, I do. When you keep butting in, yes, I do.
Take it easy, Phil. You're going to stroke out, man.
Yeah, you got to take it easy, Phil. You're going to have a heart attack, man. Your health.
What are, you know, you guys are really cracking me up. You guys treat me like I'm Grandpa Henry, man. I could beat both of your asses. You know that, right? You know that.
Well, I mean, all I'm saying, man.
No, don't give me this. Your health. If I wanted to right now, I could kick both your asses. Now, that's how I feel.
Pretty sure, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure. And you guys treat me like old man Henry, huh?
Just want to make sure, man, you know, not have oxygen.
Yeah, because remember when you needed oxygen?
You mean when I had pneumonia?
They're just looking out for you, Phil, that's all.
Okay, you know what, that's fine, but I don't like this whole your health, Phil. Space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street.
You need some glasses?
No, I don't need any glasses. To the Science Museum and Expo Park. And then, this was my funny line, by an invisible man.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't either.
That's because you guys were butting in and blah, 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 and you didn't let me get it out and time it out because it was really a funny line. I'll say it again. The space shuttle is landing at LAX Friday and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street route to the, what, bud?
Can you hold on for a minute?
What do you want me to hold on to, man?
No, just hold on for a second. Okay, go.
What, do you want me to start it all over again?
Yeah.
The space shuttle is landing at LAX on Friday, and then will be driven along a 12-mile surface street out to the Science Museum and Expo Park by an invisible man. Yeah, very funny.
Perfect, bud. Good timing.
Yeah, that's perfect.
Oh, yeah? That's really interesting. That's very funny.
All right, fine. You got your crazy... Can you hold on for a minute? Okay, go.
Yeah, well, you got to make sure that her cricket...
Is that what you had to do, man? Well, thank you very much.
Well, I still don't get it, and the point that I'm making is simply this. You lord it over people... Well, never mind.
Yeah. You know, Margaret, I'm going to tell you something, and I'm going to tell this to David Hall. You have been a huge impediment to this show for two nights running.
Here we go.
Yeah, I knew you were going
to
do this.
Oh, you know, no, I haven't even gotten warmed up. Every time I try to start something, you're butting in with some idea. Every time that you want to do something, we have to push through to the bitter end with the bit, even if it's a disaster, because we just simply must do it, or poor Margaret is being treated terribly because she's a woman. You know, you play that sex card like I've never seen anybody play it. You play a poor me card, and...
Don't you know that girl? Is that Christine Blackburn?
Who?
Right there, it's Christine Blackburn.
Are you listening to what I'm saying, man? Are you pointing out people on TV?
Phil, we've been down this road before. We don't need to go down it again, do we?
Yes, we do! What I was saying is that when you guys are talking about...
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm going to kick somebody's ass. 877-876-7444. World famous Phil Henry show. And so remember, folks, that the space... And I think that's going to be fascinating because the kids can go out... The kids can go out and see the space shuttle. They can go out and watch as it drives down the... street, and, you know, and the people.
Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about this.
The space shuttle will be... Is that...
Yeah.
Jesus, my God, man, this is amazing. Hey, David, how you doing?
What's going on? Because I heard Margaret, she had hit the red phone, and of course I had to find my way over to a cell area that where I could get some service, but she hit the red phone, and...
David, I'm sorry to bother you.
Whoa, wait just a second.
I'm sorry to bother you, David.
What?
What is the red phone?
It's a phone.
You want me to tell him?
No, I'll do it. It's a phone that I gave to Margaret in case she needs to call me because you are doing things on the air that she doesn't think will make her look good. In other words, if you're doing a bad show, she gets to hit the red phone and, if need be, bail out. And
so she gets to hit the red phone and, if need be, bail out, meaning she can leave the studio?
Yes.
And did she just hit the red phone now?
Can I speak for myself? I don't like being talked about as if I'm not here.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I don't want you to get me into a sexual harassment lawsuit. I apologize.
Well, just watch your step. What is that?
It's music. We're going to a break.
You're a fascist, sexist bastard. You know that? Both of you.
I'm sorry, Margaret. I had no idea.
We're going to a break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Margaret, I swear to God, I had no idea. I never, ever would have called up, and I never would have put you in the middle of this.
You lie, Hall. You lie.
Like a dog.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. Margaret Gray joining us in studio now as one of our contributors, along with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. On the line from San Marino, California, joining us in a moment will be Harvey Wireman, an attorney at law, a man who's now retired from the arduous work that he has done at the bar. And it's always a joke to be made there, Harvey, I'm sure.
At the bar, they always make a joke about it.
Well, Harvey, you have you also served your country as a Marine in the Second World War, for which we will forever be indebted.
Well, I appreciate that very much.
And you also came through the ranks with F. Lee Bailey, is that right?
Well, we were both put through law school by the Marines, Lee Bailey was, and then I got the bright idea that I want to be a lawyer as long as the Marine Corps was dishing out all these goodies, send you to school, and
we should tell people you have a chronic throat problem, right?
Yeah, it's not what do you call it? My granddaughter, she calls it snot cancer. Isn't that right, honey? Yeah, she's a beauty. This is my little granddaughter. What's your name, honey? What is it? Nunuibi? Yeah, what is her? I forgot my granddaughter's name, for Jesus Almighty. What's her? Hey, ask Terry what the kid's name is. No, I'm not kidding you. I don't know what the kid's name is. Bonnie, I knew her name was Bonnie. Bonnie, honey, come here. Grandpa wants you to be on the radio. Do you want to be on the radio tonight? Do you want to be on the radio tonight? All right, she doesn't want to be on the radio, so.
Well, it's a little late, isn't it?
What? It's a little late for what?
She's a little... How old is she?
She's about 3.
Oh, my... Harvey, this is Margaret. Why is she still awake?
What was that?
It's Margaret, Harvey. Why is that child still up?
She's still up because that's what we do at our house. We're not... She's a little girl. She's up. She's visiting with her grandfather. What is it with you? You know, you guys got to get off this whole kick. Everybody is sticking their nose into someone's business, morning, noon, and night, especially when it comes to kids.
Yeah.
You know, and...
Well,
I...
Harvey, I'm sorry. Look, I'm a mother, and my only reason for asking is I know the children need sleep. You know?
Yeah, I know you're a mother, Margaret. And with all due respect, you're always telling everybody that you're a mother. Hey! You know?
Well, at least I'm not on the phone every night with Phil going, hey, and making these sounds that sound as if you have autism. You know?
What are you talking? I've got it. I have a phlegm problem.
You sound as if you have autism. You sound like one of those poor children in church. Bud, you were doing it the other day.
Yeah, yell them, they'll go, yay! Yay!
What is he talking about?
He's talking about... Why did you... Never mind, Harvey. Just forget what they're saying.
Oh, forget what I am saying to you, Harvey, that you sound as if you are one of these poor, unfortunate children that are in church, and while the minister is giving the sermon... You hear them in the back going, "Aho!" You know what I you know what I mean, Robert?
Yeah, you hear them blah time going, "Ahoy! Ahoy there!"
What do you mean, "Ahoy there"? You tell me an autistic kid says that? That's about the most. You want to talk Gloyd? Now we're going down Gloyd Boulevard. Yeah, we're talking about. Yeah.
All right, this is a very unbecoming conversation and an offensive one, and I want it to cease right now. Number two, the way you clear your throat, Harvey, whether you're involved in some exhibitionism...
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, it is a very exaggerated thing you're doing there, and I'm wondering if you're doing it for effect.
Are you kidding me? Are you honestly asking me, Harvey Weierman, a guy that has... Most of my days in a courtroom having to look at some judge that looked about as bright as a mailbox and then look at a pool of jurors that weren't much smarter than him. They all looked like, you get seven jurors, but to me, they were seven lumps of you-know-what. Okay? And then you got a court reporter. She looks like she's dead from the neck up. You got bailiffs who have dead eyes. I lived and breathed and worked in courtrooms my entire life. Hey, Mr. Henry, I lived in courtrooms my entire life having to hold my tongue, having to put on my, what do you want to call it, you know?
Well, having to pretend you were somebody you weren't.
No, not having to pretend I was, no, you didn't get it right. No, you blew it. No, having to hold my tongue and... And watch my, what's the letters in the alphabet?
Oh, yeah, you gotta cross your T.
No.
Yes, cross your T and dot your I's.
Right.
No, I had to watch my,
You had to watch your butt.
No, it's the letters in the alphabet.
Your ABCs, isn't he?
No, I know what it is, your P's and Q's.
Thank you, P's and Q's.
I've never heard that saying before.
You've never heard, you go watch your P's and Q's, you've never heard that.
She's lying like she always lies. You know you've heard that.
Excuse me, I'm lying like I always, I've never heard that saying.
Well, it's very common, Margaret, very common. I'm surprised that you haven't. So, Harvey, you spent all that time in courtrooms having to watch yourself, and you don't want to have to watch yourself now.
Exactly. So if I got to clear my throat like I have to now, should I get permission here from Her Royal Eminence, or can I go ahead and clear my throat?
Don't be a child, Harvey.
All right, I want you. Yeah, hey! There. Was that good enough for you? Because that's what I had to do. I didn't put it on. It's not an exhibitionism, and none of that. Now... The reason why I'm particularly angry at you butting into my personal life is because we've got too many adults in this country, and it's a case that I took pro bono.
Wait, per bono? Yeah, per bono.
No, you know I didn't say that. You two asses wanted to get in a cutie. You know?
Yeah, they did, Phil. I'm very offended by that, and they wanted to get their cutie in.
All right, watch it, you guys, okay?
Well, man, you're always taking her side.
You guys did that on purpose.
Per boner. It's pro bono. And I took this case because it was the case of a man, an elderly man, who had been driven, that's not the word, had been
driving.
You're sure it's driving?
Yes, I'm sure.
He'd been driving his, he had a Ford Fairlane, a 1962 Ford Fairlane. And let me tell you something, brother, that's a beautiful thing when that rolls down the street. There's a lot of horsepower. It's got a lot of metal skirting. You know, the big fins, right? You know what I mean, Phil?
Yeah, the Ford Fairlane, yeah, it had the big round taillights.
Right. And he's driving down the street, and some punk kid gets in the way with a skateboard or the razors, the little scooter thing. The punk kid gets in the way. The fin on the back of the Fairlane hooks the kid's T-shirt, and this guy drags the kid. Please, understand, I don't think there's anything funny about it.
Oh, my God.
Now, hold on, Margaret. But the old man, it was his business what had happened to his car. The kid, it was about a 75 to 80-yard drag mark, is what the police, I think, finally put it at. Now,
how was the kid?
The old man was fine.
No, the kid! How was he?
He was banged up. He was pretty banged up, but he was all bawling and crying and asking for his mom. But kids are going to do that to try to get the sympathy of what you did. You know, and my point that I'm trying to make is, there's an old lady there, and I got a statement from her. I deposed her, and I basically said to her, "Boy, you really love getting your kicks this way, don't you?" And she's saying to me, "What do you mean? What do you mean?" And I said, "Let me tell you something, Mrs. Van Wagen. I think her name was Vagina." And
vagina?
No, I'm gonna hang the phone up.
But why don't you just be quiet, okay?
That's what he said.
I did not say that.
How do you spell it?
V-A-G-I-N-A, but it is Vagina, Mrs. Vagina.
V-A...
I know how to spell it.
All right.
So I said to her, "You really love getting your kicks sticking your nose into another man's business." And she's, "What do you mean?" And I said, "This guy's Fairlane, and you know the kind of skirting those cars have. It hooked the kid's T-shirt, and they took the kid for a ride. And what do? You're standing on a street corner, and you're making note of the license, and you come walking over and going, butting in."
I think that's a perfect time for someone to butt in. Are you crazy?
Yeah, I think so, too. You know.
Well, I don't. As an attorney representing this man, I told her, "I can see right through you, lady. I look right through you as if you're the invisible man, except you've got breasts." That's what I said. And she was, "Don't you have a wonderful turn of phrase?" And I said, "Well, that's why they pay me the big dollars." So I said to her, I said, "Well, Mrs. Vagina, you stuck your nose into this guy's private affair."
Hold on, I got to ask you a question.
What?
How is this his private affair? He hits the kid.
Wait, whoa, there, sunshine. Hold on. Did he hit the kid?
Well, I mean, did you tell me...
Well, I didn't tell you anything. I didn't tell you anything, but you got to go blah, 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 blah. See, that's what you do, Phil. You and Ms. Gray and everybody over there at your little radio studio, before I can get the story out, you guys start in with the blah, blah, blah. You know what I'm saying? Give me... honey, Bonnie, get Grandpa. Get Grandpa some water. I said to get... Hold on, Phil. Get Grandpa water. Get Grandpa water, or I'll kick you down the hall. God, how I'd love to do that, too.
Boy, you are. You know what, man? Maybe we ought to let you go.
Why? What is up with you people? Boy, what up? You know something, Henry? You've gotten real soft. You really have. Go get Grandpa water. I'm gonna do to you what we saw that man do with the football on TV. I'm going to do to you what we saw the man... What the football did to the nut, the football did to the man.
And you mean with the football, the man did to the football?
Yeah, what the man did to the football. Thank you, Robert. What the man did to the football.
No.
Don't say no to Grandpa because it's starting to wear on my nerves.
No.
Don't say no anymore, Bonnie.
Look, at you're getting sidetracked.
I got it, okay, Phil? Just back off. I got this. I'm on this, okay?
Uh-uh.
I said, get out of here, Bonnie.
No.
Get out of here, Bonnie. Get your daughter out of here, please. I know she's my granddaughter. Get her out of here before I boot her ass through that window.
What bug got up your ass?
Wouldn't you like to know? All right, there. You guys happy? Now I just threatened to kick my own granddaughter through a plate glass window at midnight. In my neighborhood in San Marino, a little girl in a little summer dress will be seen sailing through a window and almost, you know, the trajectory's still going up as she crosses the street. And the trajectory only comes down.
Okay, I get it, man. So this guy that hit the kid, he didn't hit the kid?
No, the kid came out into the street. And my client, Bob Fordova is his name. Yeah, Bob Fordova, he's a neighbor of mine. And I said to Bob, he said, I didn't see this kid. He said, I only knew there was a kid hooked to the rear wheel well when I could hear the electric motor on the razor going, like the wheel was spinning and it wasn't hitting cement. He said it was then and only then that I pulled the car over, got out, and I see kid, shirt, sneaker, and razor all tumbled together. And that's when I said to the kid, are you okay? And I heard, you know, I heard something come out of the kid. Okay, so he's fine. Meanwhile, this bag, this Mrs. Vagina, comes over. Are you laughing?
Yes, I am.
And you're laughing at her name?
Yes, I am.
I'm really surprised at you, Phil.
Oh, get out of here, Harvey. I'm not going to laugh at a name like that.
I love it, too.
Well, I expect you to laugh, bud, because you're one step up from an imbecile. But Mr. Henry...
Wait, what? Yeah, be more nice about it.
Yeah, okay, I'll be more nice about it. But you laughing...
Oh, well, you gotta be kidding me. V-A-G-I-N-A, Mrs. Vagina.
Yes! Would you be happier if it was pronounced the other way?
Go ahead.
So I said to her, so you come over and you stick your busybody nose in. Now, I said to the judge... who was presiding at the day, I said, look, Judge, we can save a lot of time and trouble. This doesn't even, you shouldn't even have to, this is garbage from beginning to end. My client is driving down the street. Some kid darts out in front of him. He gets his T-shirt hooked in the rear wheel well. The kid goes bouncing down the avenue on a sunny day. When my client gets out of the car, he sees a skid mark, still can't find kid. And I said to the judge, I said, there's a skid mark. And there's a ball of kid, sneaker, and razor. And
what does that mean, a ball of kid, sneaker, and razor?
Well, you can imagine after you get done dragging a kid 50 yards, it's going to be all, you can't tell which legs is with which, and which, you know.
We have to take a break, okay?
Sure, I was hoping that you would, because I'm getting real tired.
877-877-876-7445. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Dan.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It was a little striped T-shirt.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
It's about as whack a story. You know, and I can never get these stories all out at once. So, Harvey, what you're telling me here is that this guy, your client, you know, dragged some kid 50 yards, and the lady that got his license number, you consider to be a busybody.
Well, let me explain this to you, all right? Because, you know, we live in a society now where everybody feels like they have the right to walk up to you and say, "Is that your kid?" Yeah. Well, you know, I don't like the color of the bonnet that it wears. You know.
No. People don't think that.
Yes, they do. I encounter them all the time. You know.
I don't think people feel empowered to butt in when it comes to that kind of thing.
Well, okay, Phil. You don't think. Now, because you're the talk show host, I've got to just back off and go, oh, yes, oh, you know, like, what are they doing over there in China, or what is it? No, not in China, in France. They're like, oh, Allah, right? Is that what I got to do here?
No, I'm just giving you, I think, an informed opinion. I mean, if, you know, counter it if you must, but I think, you know, that...
Oh, counter it if I must. Yes, sir. Jeez, I didn't know we were in a debating, society.
No, we're not in a debating society. We would be in a debating society with a guy who's going, ha-ha. every 3 seconds.
Go ahead, make fun of an old man who can barely breathe, okay? You having fun? You're making fun of an old man that can barely get oxygen into his blood. Huh? How's it feel? Kicks?
Harvey, I know you too well, man, okay?
Oh, okay. Okay, man.
And I'm telling you that I don't think it's that bad. Now, if you want to give me an example...
I'll give you an example. I gave you the example of Fendercock. That's the name of my friend, okay?
I thought you said his name was Fendraw or something.
No, I just looked at the file. It's a much bigger... I didn't know. It's a long name. So
his name's Fender... whatever, and the woman is Mrs. Vagina.
Oh, so you're afraid to say the guy's name. Because you're afraid of what, the FCC or some busybody jackasses that are listening to you right now? Let me just say to the people that are listening to Mr. Henry right now, who may be offended by Mr. Vagina, not Mr., but I guess it would be Mr. Vagina's wife, Mrs. Vagina, you can all take a flying jump off a short pier. How's that feel? There, I said that for you, Phil, because you haven't got a pair on you big enough to say it yourself. And
all right, that's great, Harvey. Thank you very much for the insult.
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, the truth hurts. And I'm telling you that out there in the world, and I'm speaking as an attorney, okay?
Hey!
I'm speaking as Hara. I'm speaking as an attorney, all right? Okay, Phil?
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's with the yeah, uh-huh?
Well, you're speaking as a attorney.
What an ass. Really, I mean, God, I got to ask you a question, Phil. Do you have a postgraduate degree from ass school, or did you just take the undergraduate work?
Real funny.
I thought it was pretty good. So, the point that I'm making...
Yes, Professor.
Goodbye.
I'm kidding, Harvey. Come on.
Oh, goodbye.
Harvey, this is Margaret. I want to hear the story.
I don't give a sweet Jesus. Goodbye.
Come on, Mr. Wyman, we really do.
I don't give a damn. Goodbye. Why should I hang it up? Let me hang it up.
Well, Ms. Wyman, don't hang up.
I'm hanging up. I'm hanging up. I can't hang up. What do you want?
Well, now we're out of time.
Oh, great. So I'm stuck here in telephone purgatory. I can't hang it up. I can't go on the air. I got to sit here with this shoved in my mouth. I usually am the guy doing the shoving.
We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Like that one?
Phil Hendry. Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. That's not funny anymore, bud, okay?
It's pretty good.
Get the crickets out of here. It ain't funny anymore. World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places other talk shows wish they could. But they can't. And we're about to... Oh, man, I told you... We had a great meeting today. The world is a changing place, my friends. And this is only good news for you as consumers. That's the part that I really wanted you to know. This is good news for you, the consumer. The news for the consumer when it comes to audio, when it comes to audio entertainment, let's just call it what it is, audio entertainment. You want to call it radio, fine, but there are a million different ways that you are going to be getting your audio entertainment in the future. And there are many, many more choices you're going to have, many, many more ways that you can have that delivered to you. Take a look at your phone. I know many of you have a smartphone. Imagine this, not just your phone and not just your computer, but this is now your radio. And it's not a radio in the traditional sense. It's an internet radio, but it also contains all of your podcasts. It has all of a variety of different platforms where you can find all of your favorite shows and podcasts. It has a variety of different platforms you can find all of your music. So your phone now, this little tiny computer that we carry with us, which is our phone, it's our internet access, It's our Twitter and our Facebook. It's our, this is where we communicate via email. This is where we keep, you know, write notes to ourselves. This is where we play little games when we're bored. This is where we take our Instagram pictures and then put them up on Instagram and go, wow, isn't this cool what I did with all of that blurry stuff and made my nose go like that? And, you know, people are bored to tears, but they're, yeah, it's really great.
You think your pictures suck?
I don't think my pictures on Insta. I've got an Instagram account, you guys. It's Phil Hendry. If you want to go over and you know, we'll you know, look at each other's pictures, you know. But the only people that I actually follow are my godsons and my buddy Don's, his whole extended family. They all follow me. So, you know, Joe and then his sister Katie and then the cousins. So I got all this Olander family stuff on my feed on Instagram.
What do I do?
Well, I mean, it's all really creative. They're kids, you know. They're in their 20s, and they're great kids. And it's all like club stuff and music stuff and pictures of clothes, shoes, you know. And then I also follow, like, I don't know. I've got Toby Huss. Toby's an actor, but he also he was an actor. He's a voice actor on King of the Hill. He did a lot of voices on King of the Hill, and I met him there. And he also does a lot of camera stuff. And I love his pictures because he goes out and he takes just these whacked out pictures because he's always traveling around the country, you know.
Like what?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like one time he went into some place in the South and there was a bikini on a mannequin that was hanging from the ceiling, but it was a Stars and Bars Confederate flag bikini on this, you know, no head, no arms, no legs, just torso mannequin hanging from the ceiling of this place that looked like a huge garage, but it was actually a surplus store. And there was this, in the middle of all of this crazy stuff, was this bikini, you know.
That reminds me of that guy in Falling Down.
Which guy?
The guy that had that store.
Oh, that guy was creepy. Woo!
Yeah, remember that guy? He stabbed him?
Oh, yeah, oh, God.
What was that talking about?
This movie, Falling Down. Did you ever see it?
Uh-oh.
Michael Douglas plays this guy that flips out. He can't stand it anymore. He just flips his lid. He's in the freeway. He's in his car.
Yeah, and he flips his lid, and he's got to get out of there. It's too hot and everything.
Yeah, so he leaves his car, and he begins this, and the movie then commences this sojourn, this journey, going from the car that he left on the freeway, literally left it there, as he's walking to the home of his ex-wife to see his daughter on her birthday. We find out that there's a restraining order on him. So we know that this guy is, right, he's already started cracking. And the journey that he takes on foot takes him right through the center of, like, gangland L.A. It takes him right into just a lot of different sort of, it's almost like Apocalypse Now, the journey of the boat up the river to get to Kurtz, only this is Michael Douglas, and he's taking this journey through the city of Los Angeles as he finally makes his way out to West L.A. But in the process, he meets all these kooky, just cracked people, and one of them is the owner of a surplus store who's a neo-Nazi. And the guy is like all...
Yeah, I mean, he's got... Look at this can.
Yeah, he's got a can of... An empty can that used to have Cyclon B gas in it.
What's that?
That's what they killed people in concentration camps with.
And he's got this?
Yeah, he's got this. He's going, hey, look at what I got, man. Look at what I got. Yeah, man.
Yeah, he's all like, all excited about it.
Right, and Michael Douglas is getting sick to his stomach from this guy, and they have a confrontation, a violent confrontation, and Michael Douglas pulls a knife that he took off some gangbanger with some other thing that he was involved in, and he stabs this guy and kills him. But oh God, that cat was real creeped out. And that's then. And
did you say your friend Toby Huss like that?
No, I didn't say that. No.
No, he said that he said he went to a store like that.
I said that Toby took a picture of something inside a store that looked like this guy's store.
Oh.
And so I dig his stuff on. And I was talking about Instagram, really, and. I follow him, and then I follow Brody Stevens, the comic. He's a nutcase. He's a great guy, very, very nice guy. And he takes pictures of himself because he's got the most distinctive face. He just, you know, it's like I can't describe Brody's face. It's a handsome face, but it's very distinctive. And he takes all these whacked out pictures of himself, you know, glaring at the camera and all this. So, but my pictures suck, you know.
Like, what do you take a picture of?
I just take pictures of the ocean. You know, my pictures blow. I mean, there's no good. I don't take any good pictures. I got pictures of the ocean. I got pictures of myself, you know, with like friends. Big deal, you know.
Yeah, but people want to see that stuff.
Yeah, but then I did. Then I get, see, my problem, I get really creative. I got this thing called Blender, and I like to blend pictures. So I'll have, like, I did this one picture. It was the ocean, and then I took a picture of a baby, and I made it so the baby looked like the baby was coming up out of the horizon of the ocean.
Like a giant baby?
Yeah, it was like a giant baby. And I had, like, a redneck dude standing on the beach with a shotgun looking at this giant baby as if he was guarding the coastline against this baby attack, you know?
That's pretty bitching.
I don't think, I mean, yeah, it was funny, but I don't think people like that. I think people on Instagram want to see just, oh, show us pictures of, like, you know, you and your kids. Like, there's one, I got one with me and my daughter, Catherine. Everybody loved that, you know? They all loved those shots. I got to get a picture of me and Alex, man. We went out to this meeting today and get some shots of him up there because he works with us on our website. So why am I talking about this stuff?
You're all talking about Instagram and stuff. Oh, yeah, talk about new media.
Yeah, you're talking about like a new media thing?
Yeah, so anyway, your phone is now what you use for so many things. Well, it will now become your, this is where you're going to go for, even though now I know you have it as an iPod, I get that. But this is going to be something that you will use much like you use the radio today. There, you won't necessarily have to be material stored on this. You can access it live. You can listen to it as you choose. You can go to platforms where a multitudinous offering exists. And
what's that mean?
It means a lot of stuff. And it's really an exciting, exciting, exciting future. So that's kind of what I was yelling about at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, but see, you would scam people, you know.
By the way, where's Margaret?
She went to the bathroom, said she streaked.
Bud, you don't want to say that. She's going to come. Here she comes now.
No, I heard that. I heard it. I was in the bathroom, and I heard the, I overheard that. Yes, I did streak a little bit.
Okay, I mean, I was trying to be a gentleman so that we didn't have to hear about it.
Well, I was laughing at something that had been said by Mr. Wireman. And I laughed so hard that I went in to check, and yes. By the way, is it all right if I put this in your hamper?
And Margaret, why do I want that here?
It's not leprosy on it. All right, never mind.
Take it home to your own laundry. God.
You know, that's very insulting. When I ask you if I can leave a pair of panties here, are you offended that you think people are going to think, oh, Phil's having an affair with Margaret?
No, Margaret, I'm not. I'm more offended by you sitting here on the air talking about leaving a pair of panties in our hamper because you streaked laughing at something that Harvey did.
So what? God, what a prude, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that'd be so like that, Phil.
Exactly, Phil. Listen to your own crew. Even they are embarrassed by how really prudish you are. Get with it. Loosen up. Have some fun, you know?
Oh, okay. Sure, Margaret. Go ahead and streak and leave your dirty underwear at my house.
I didn't call it dirty under... Oh, my God. Oh, my God. When is my French National Anthem segment coming up? I want to leave the room right now before I throw up.
It's coming up after this break, so you might want to stay.
Well, if I get sick all over the carpet, you'll understand.
I certainly will. God.
Well, Phil, it's your own fault.
All right, fine. We'll be right back. World famous wins my French National Anthem segment coming up.
Yes. When is it coming up?
Right after the break. We'll be right back. Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We're online at philhendryshow.com. With a backstage pass, you can not only listen to our radio show's enormous library and archive of audio, you can also watch our nightly show by way of Phil TV and HD. You can, let's see, what else? What else can you do, bud?
You can like, just imagine, you know, that you have powers.
Imagine, what is he talking about?
What are you talking about, man?
Well, I don't know, I wasn't prepared.
You can imagine you have powers. No, you can go online and you can access our audio and video and our archives and our news feed and all the other extras that we have in miscellany, as they call it, at philhenryshow.com. You're also going to be reading on our website, and it will be the prime place that you go for the further adventures of the Phil Henry Show as we begin over the next several months to take not our radio show necessarily, but our act out on the road, baby. That's right. That's right. As we begin to refine and maximize our potentiality, in the words of Benny Blanco from the Bronx.
Yeah, I'm refining my product and maximize my potentiality.
Yeah, man, I'm into some stuff that's about to explode.
Right. That was Benny Blanco. So we're going to maximize our potentiality because we're about to get into some stuff that's going to explode. And anyway, we will be coming to a town or village or township or ville or wherever you live, whatever you call it. It could be something as humble as a hamlet. We'll come to your hamlet, you know.
But not the name of a guy.
Hamlet is also the name of a guy, yeah, but it was also what they used to call small little...
What is that, a village or really a little village?
A hamlet, I would say, is a small village, yeah.
But how big is that?
It's a little tiny, probably two houses or something. I don't know. A hamlet, and then there is a burg. A burg is just a slang term for a kind of a hick town. And, you know, so there you go. And as my father used to call them, wide spots in the road.
What did he call it?
My dad used to say it's a wide... My father would talk of small towns this way. He'd say it was a wide spot in the road.
What's that mean?
Well, what it meant was there wasn't anything exceptional about the town at all. The only thing that you noticed about the town was that the road widened a little bit. A wide spot in the road, meaning that's how small the town was.
Oh.
Yeah. Or he would say you could spit from one city limit to the next.
Your dad said that?
Yeah, my father, he took a business trip one time that got him to Helena, Montana. Now, no offense to anybody listening to us in Helena, Montana tonight, but my dad said he wound up in Helena, Montana. I go, and I was young. I said, was that a big city, Dad? Big! You can spit from one city limit to the next.
What's that mean? So, in other words, you could...
Yeah, bud, can't you figure this out, man?
Dad, it means you're spitting from one city limit, you stand on a city limit, you spit another one.
Yeah, okay, I wasn't quite sure.
I mean, what is it? Everything you ask a question about, man. If I said to you that the sun comes up in the morning, you'd ask me, oh, what does it mean, man? You know?
Well, what does it mean?
It means...
Because you always say that the sun doesn't move.
The sun doesn't move.
Then why do you see the sun come up?
Because that's what people say. That's how people have been describing it since time began, all right? We say the sun comes up. It's easier to say that than to say that the earth rolled toward the sun. How would you say that?
Just say that I woke up this morning and the earth turned, and the spot on the earth where I was turned toward the sun.
Oh, that sounds really cool, man. That's really, I mean, I'd be standing there with my jaw open if you said that.
What's that mean?
I'd be standing there like you're the dumbest guy I ever met.
Why would you want to say that, man?
Because it's more accurate.
Well, okay, you try that for the next week, and just say to people, "Yeah, I got up this morning, you know, and I watched the sun as it stayed put in the sky and the earth turned toward it." Is that what you're going to say?
Well, that's not exactly. I wouldn't say that.
Well, how would you put it?
I'd say like, "I got up. It's such a beautiful day today. Man, I woke up as the place as the fixed spot on the earth that I stood at." Rotated toward the sun.
Do you realize that just took you like maybe 30 seconds to spit that out? Oh, what a beautiful morning.
As the fixed spot on the orb that we occupy rotated toward the sun.
As the fixed spot... See, I just don't think that sounds, you know...
It doesn't sound friendly, man.
What do you mean friendly? Well, how friendly is supposed to sound?
Well, it doesn't sound like anything anybody will relate to.
That's what he's saying. Who's going to relate to that? Everybody relates to the sun coming up. And then you come along. Here comes Bud. Yeah, it's your way. Yeah, I know what you guys mean. Really beautiful morning as I stood on the fixed spot on the orb called the Earth, and it rotated toward the sun. They're going to look at you, man, like you belong in a freaking butterfly net.
Okay, you laugh if you want.
What are you talking about?
Did you get the...
Yes, I did, Phil, and I don't want to talk about it. What are you talking about?
We're talking about the way Bud says the sun comes up. He says that, look, I don't want to talk about this, okay? We got other stuff that we have to do.
I just want to know, when he says it is a fixed orb on the... It's a fixed spot on the orb, what is he talking about?
He's talking about the Earth.
Talking about the Earth.
All right. That's all I wanted to know. I didn't know if you were talking about a woman's breast. Because I have to keep track of these things.
Wow, Margaret. I mean, you really love to think the worst, don't you?
I don't know what filth you three are talking about. I'm sorry. But I have turned on your show some nights, Phil, and I have to tell you, I can't believe the garbage, the sewer that your mouth has turned into. And you're talking about Bud, a fixed spot on someone's orb, naturally.
He didn't say fixed spot on someone's orb. He said a fixed spot on the orb of the Earth.
All right, are you ready for me?
Am I ready for you? What is...
You'll sing a la French, a la Massal.
It's not la... What did you say?
The French anthem.
Oh, the French national anthem. I'm sorry.
Yes, I am going to render the French national anthem. And I want everyone to know that I have great respect, great love, and great admiration for the French people. I don't agree with my colleague Phil Hendry, who also supports the very unfortunate decision by this so-called magazine to publish these offensive images. Phil, I know you love a good fight, and you love to take controversial sides, but I think this dog won't hunt. Okay? Okay? Phil?
Yeah, that's great, Margaret. This dog won't hunt. That's great. You know, I mean, it sounds so affected that I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to let it just go by, but you want me to say, yeah, this dog won't hunt.
I have to ask the question again. Did you graduate from ass school, or was this some kind of...
All right, okay, just do the song, okay? Do you mind?
All right. I don't know the words to this song, ladies and gentlemen, but I will have you know I love and respect the French national anthem. And so we're going to do something that is traditional in the Gray family. And when I say the Gray family, I say my family. My maiden name is Margaret Mulcurin, but I've taken the name Gray all the way back to...
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, I was getting emotional.
Yeah! We'll be right back.
What are you laughing at?
All right, Margaret will be back to sing the French national anthem in this manner that is traditional in your family.
Yes, and I guess I'll have to explain it when we come back.
Yes, exactly. We'll be right back. The Phil Hendry Show. Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, Margaret Gray is with us and has been with us the last couple of nights. Very happy to have Margaret on our in-studio staff contributing. As I understand what you said to us, Margaret, here a moment ago, the French national anthem you're going to sing, not knowing the words, part of the family tradition, Mercurin family, since you've taken the Gray name, you've changed your name back to birth. Does that mean you had your report cards changed?
Yes. Basically, Phil, it meant that I went back to every record that recorded the name Mercurin, and I had that changed officially to Gray. I don't want to go into my reasons for that. I'm very proud of my family name, but I don't want to have anything to do with it in terms of it being attached to my name, if you understand what I'm saying.
No, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, it's going to have to make sense, Bud, because that's as far as I'm going with that.
All right. I mean, it sounds like there's an involved story there, and we won't press you, you know.
Well, some night I'll go into it.
Okay. So what is this family tradition?
The family tradition that we have, and this goes back to my great uncle, who was a singer, and he sang in Irish theater. He traveled what they called the county circuit in Ireland back in the 19th century. And he was a music hall singer, and he worked the music halls of Ireland. Now, if someone called out, as they often did, a very popular song, or perhaps a traditional song, that my uncle didn't know the words to, he would create his own words, and this became a Maturin trait, and became something that was known throughout our family's history, as well as that branch of our family that was in entertainment. So,
all right, so you're going to sing the French national anthem that way.
I am, and I want everyone to know, especially the French listeners, anyone listening, I have great respect and great love for the French people.
As do I.
Well.
As do I. Okay, as we all do.
All right, but you've been very critical.
Yes, we've been critical of some government, but we the French people are great people, and... Certainly, the satirists of France, the writers of France, the great and what I consider courageous artists who stand against a violent horde in order to express their artistic freedom, I think that is admirable.
And I agree with that, Phil. But I think it's just unfortunate that they're making a spectacle of themselves, because there are a great many Islam, or however you say it, people in Hollywood and in the entertainment business. And a great many of them are on some very popular shows like The Office. Hello.
Who?
I'm not going to say. Okay.
You stated there people are Islam in The Office?
Yes. Like on Modern Family. Hello.
Wait. Well, hold on just a minute.
No, I'm not, Phil. I'm not going to elaborate.
There are people of the Muslim faith on Modern Family.
Yes.
All right, so here is the song from Margaret Gray, the French national anthem. And here it is with her own words.
Well, the French people are my favorite people. And oh, God, that's high. Start again. Bud Dickman, please start again.
Yeah, I got it, Miss Gray.
I'm sorry, Phil, I can't...
Who's on the phone, by the way?
Oh, Frank, honey, is that you?
It's me. I was just late. I knew that you'd need to start a lower key there, dear.
Yes, I do. I have to start in a lower key, Bud.
Mike, what do you want me to do?
Just, you're going to have to start in a lower key.
Yeah, you're going to have to, because she can't change the recording.
All right.
You call me a she.
Oh, Tyler, gender confusion.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
What did it say?
Never mind. All right, so, Margaret, you need to just start... Could I
get a few bars of that, please? A few bars of that, please, Bud Dickman.
Yeah, why do you keep saying my last name?
Because you are accompanying me, and I always use the last names of my accompanist. My accompaniment. I don't know how to say it. All right, here we go. Okay. Well, the French people are really my friends, and they are all over in a beautiful country. I like all the wine and the vineyards, and the hunchback of Notre Dame. And
okay, can I just...
What in the name of Jesus on the cross? You know, Phil...
Hold on for a minute, Margaret.
Well, what are you interrupting me for?
The Hunchback of Notre Dame.
Excuse me, but that's what we do in my family. You've got a lot of nerve.
What are you interrupt her for?
All right, I'm sorry. I just...
Why, am I not doing it according to the Phil Henry way? Would you do it differently? Oh, gee, Phil. Maybe we'll give you your opportunity to do it and then...
All right, okay, fine. I'm sorry. I apologize.
What a... Phil, let me ask you something. Did
No, I didn't take postgraduate work at ass school, if that's what you're going to ask me.
Yes, I was.
Frank, are you still there? I don't know if we hung up on him.
Yes, I'm still here, for God's sweet country.
I'm sorry, darling.
Well, I don't know. I'm just telling you that when she puts on the anthem, start in the lower register because she can't control it.
You talking about me?
Yes, I'm talking about you. Do you think I'm talking about your mother? Yes, I'm talking about you.
All right, here we go. Margaret Gray singing the French national anthem.
With the McKernan family tradition of making up our own lyrics. Oh, you are a real gloid. Start it again. Start it again. Start it again, for God's sake, bud. Start it again, please. All right, here we go. One, two, one, two, two. One, two, three, and a one, two, two, and a... La, la, la. Well, I go to a vineyard, I get a bottle of wine. I get that really good French bread, too. Oh, I love all the sights that I see. There's the Champs-Élysées and all the wars that... Well, you know what I mean, right, Phil? My God, you look like you've just seen vomit. You don't look like you've seen a ghost. You look like you've seen chunky vomit. Frank.
Yes, dear.
Would you head over now to pick me up? I don't want to be here anymore.
Well,
I'm on my way.
Thank you. I really don't, Phil. I don't want to be here anymore.
Margaret, you know, it's an amazing thing. You say something that I find very amusing, and I can't laugh.
No, you can't. I'm being very serious. You've got a look on your face. After I sang that song, does that mean you didn't like it?
No, it doesn't mean that I didn't like it.
Well, you're a liar. How does that feel? Does that wipe the smile off your face? You're a crawling liar. You're a tail-dragging, crawling cur. Scum, Phil. The scum of the earth.
Yeah, that took the smile off my face, all right.
Yeah, I thought it would.
I was going to say that it was very amusing when you used the, when you said I looked like I hadn't seen a ghost, I'd actually seen.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
Well, you guys laugh it up because I'm leaving now, okay?
Father, do it. It was really funny what you said.
Well, he looked like he, to me, the most shocking thing in the world to see is not a ghost. I've seen ghosts. I have seen hundreds of ghosts, all right? I grew up in a haunted home. My home was haunted. My grandmother died in the bedroom that I shared with my sister, okay?
I didn't know that, Margaret.
Yes, she did. And throughout our childhood, we always heard my grandmother walking the halls at night, always.
Did it scare you?
No, it did not scare us because we got used to it. We knew that's Grandmama. And my father would say, "Did you girls hear Grandma last night?" We talk about it in the morning.
So to you, the most frightening thing...
Not the most frightening, but the most shocking thing is to see a puddle of milky-colored, chunky vomit. That would leave me with my jaw dropping. And that's what you looked like.
Well, when you put it that way, yeah, that would...
Well, imagine that, Phil. You get up in the morning, you walk into the bathroom, you're about to sit down and really enjoy it. And in the sink...
Okay, I get the picture, all right?
In the sink?
Yeah, I get the picture.
Mr. Gray's outside.
Okay, Frank, I'll be on. I'm coming, Frank.
All right, Margaret, thank you very much.
Uh-huh.
All right, that was really disgusting, man.
Yeah, what you think about that, man? Yeah.
Huh? What did you just say?
Yeah, what was that? That sounded gloid-like.
Hey, watch the gloid-like, man. I said, I understand what she's saying.
Well, yeah, when she puts it that way, that is pretty shocking. She grew up with ghosts. You know, I will say one thing, Margaret, if you're listening on the way home, and I know you are, you really got to get a bit of a thicker skin, man. We're going to laugh about a lot of stuff. You split because we thought that was a really cool thing you said. We were laughing, and now you're splitting and you're going home. You know, you could still be here. All right, we're going to take a break here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you very much, Margaret, for your... That rendition of the French national anthem, you know.
Yeah, talking about...
I love to go drink wine and eat bread. Okay, we'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
The Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And if you would like to follow us on Twitter, you can. You go to twitter.com/ Real Phil Hendry. And I just found out something today. If you go to Twitter and you hang a Twitter, you'll notice that there are some people who have blue check marks next to their names. And they generally are very famous people, but they're also people that you've never heard of in your life. You say, why does that person have a blue check mark? Their account is verified. And I found out today from these cats that I was talking to, it ain't no thing, man. It's no big deal. And I said, really? They said, yeah. I said, well, I want to be verified. I want to have a blue. They said, we'll do it. We'll get it done for you. He said, I think it's just you have to have a birth certificate. I said, are you kidding me? That can't possibly be it, man. He said, no, I think that's what it is.
But what does that mean, a verification or everything?
Not the one where they got the blue check mark.
Yeah, I know what it is. What's it mean?
I think there's more to it. I think there's some formula that Twitter uses. And I really, really do believe it has a lot to do with how you use Twitter. Are you using Favestar? Are you retweeting? Are you interacting? Are you doing the do? You know?
Yeah, probably like the number of followers, too.
No, it's not number of followers, because there are people with fewer followers than me that are verified. So it's not the number of followers. I think it's the interaction and...
So what are you saying? You're antisocial.
Maybe. Maybe I'm antisocial. I don't know. I could be. But I believe it's their own formula, and it's some kind of heaviosity thing, man. But the reason why I pay attention to that is because I believe that a blue check mark next to your name is worth advertising. I think it's like worth money. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't.
I mean, if you have that blue check mark next to your name, that it has a certain cachet to it that people pay attention to. I think there's an actual dollar value.
You know, that some of the people on a Twitter, or not Twitter,
called Twitter, man, God.
Well, what are you getting upset about?
How many times people got to tell you?
Bud, how many times you got to be told it's Twitter?
What about that other guy?
Who? What guy?
Jack a Gagger.
Jack, he's an old guy. He doesn't know Twitter, man. He doesn't know Twitter from the New York Times, okay? He's some cat in his 70s. I mean, no offense, but, you know, I mean, he doesn't know.
Well, so he says it.
So you're like a young guy. You ought to know how to say Twitter. So what about it?
Anyway, that on Twitter, I forgot what I was going to say.
Well, man, it's your own fault.
No, it isn't. You are interrupting me.
Take it easy, bud.
No, man. He's always doing that.
You interrupted me.
Yeah, I interrupted you because you sound like an idiot. If you stopped sounding so stupid, I wouldn't interrupt you.
You're interrupting Phil's show now, too.
Phil will tell me to shut up.
Why don't you tell me to shut up?
Because I'm listening to you guys work it out, man. And you're yelling really loud, bud. Back it off, okay?
Yeah, I'm not afraid of you, man.
So, I'm not afraid of you. I'm not afraid of you.
Okay. You want to throw down?
No, you're not throwing down. You understand? You ain't throwing down.
Dog, every time he talks about Twitter, he's always calling it Twitter. So you can't be that stupid, man.
I'm not stupid. I forgot. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at you, and I wonder if what you're saying is true. I think sometimes you just say Twitter just to be funny, just like you play those crickets, you know?
You mean these?
Yes, I mean those.
Shut them off, man. Nobody wants them now.
You shut them off.
All right, easy. So in any event, go to twitter.com/realphilhendry. That's where we have, we do a lot of tweeting from there. We also have the Phil Hendry Show account. Bud, you have a Twitter account, right?
Yeah, sometimes, but lately I've been on it.
Are you going to be on it anytime soon?
Yeah, well, I was on yesterday. And Mrs. Gray was on there.
Margaret Gray also, if you want to follow Margaret Gray, you can follow her on Twitter. We also are over at Facebook, facebook.com/PhilHendryFans. And while we have a friends page, we're going to kind of, we're going to migrate, as they say. We're migrating over to our fan page now. And that's why I was asking Johnny Bean for the login, man, because I've totally spaced on the login on
the fan page?
On our fan page. So we are going to be using our fan page now for all of our show stuff and for just talking about the show, just talking about stuff that we're going to be over on the fan page a lot. So it's not that I don't like the Friends page, but it's a very limited thing. And I don't understand the Friends. I don't understand Facebook, man, you know?
Well, what don't you understand?
I just don't understand. I don't get it, man. What's with the Friends page? Who cares, man? I mean, what's the point of that if you're going to have a fan page?
The Friends page is for people that
don't yell, man.
Yeah, take it easy, bud.
No, I'm just saying a Friends page is for people that are not famous and stuff.
Okay, all right. So what does that mean? So I'm wasting my time? What are you telling me?
You should have a fan page.
I have a fan page, but I was told today I should be on the fan page, that I'm wasting my time being on a Friends page.
Yeah, you are, because a friend page is a limited number of people, and that's supposed to be friends, okay? That's what that's supposed to be.
Real friends?
Yeah.
Who has 5,000 real friends? I mean, seriously.
Are you kidding? A lot of people do.
Who? I mean, you're talking about real friends.
Well, I mean, the people you know and stuff.
I don't know 5,000 people, man. I don't know 5,000 people well enough to call them friends. I just don't. I don't know anybody that does.
How many friends you say you got?
People that I would call a friend? Dude, if I've got 15 people in my life that I would call friends, well, now, look, are you talking about professional acquaintance?
No, I'm saying, like, man, friend, man. You know, like, go over to the house.
No, man, there's no more than 15 people in my whole life that I would say I could get, like, knock on the door at their house, say, hey, what's up, you know, and I could go in. Okay.
What would the other people do, like, shoot at you?
Shoot at me?
No, what would they do?
They're not going to shoot at me. I'm just saying that they would say, oh, hi, Phil, gee, what are you doing here? I mean, it would be kind of one of those awkward things, you know?
Yeah, maybe they listen to you on the radio.
Are you guys listening to what I'm saying? This isn't about them being listeners on the radio. You asked me a question about Friends, man, so I'm giving you the answer about Friends. All right?
Not the TV show.
Yeah.
I didn't say the TV show, did I? I'm talking about Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And I'm saying that 5,000 friends? I don't think so, man. I don't think so. So that Friends page, I don't understand it. I don't get it. And I'm always posting show stuff there, and people say to me, oh, man, don't do that. You're wasting your show stuff over on that page because that's not what that's about, and you're going to get more shares because Facebook is about shares. That's something else I'm hearing. I'm telling you, there's a whole real science behind this stuff that I'm just now starting to understand. I used to think it was just go on there, write really funny or cute or stuff you think is funny and cute, and post it, and then everyone will just love you and think you're the greatest thing in the world, and that's not how it works. You got to get shares, you got to get retweets, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but Fave Star is gay.
Yeah, Fave Star, I don't like Fave Star.
I don't like Fave Star either. I think Fave Star is bullcrap. And I think buying followers, I can't believe that. Are you kidding me, man? You know that you can go buy followers?
Yeah, there's, I don't know how much it costs, but they'll get followers for you.
That's pathetic.
Yeah, but man, you were saying it's the number of followers, whether you get verified and stuff.
No, it isn't, man. I said numbers of followers doesn't matter. There's people that are verified on Twitter with fewer followers than me, man. So what's that about, okay? Anyway, big deal. So we'll see you tomorrow night, guys. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft and myself, Phil Hendry. And don't forget to get a backstage pass. A backstage pass at philhendryshow.com means that you can have all kinds of joyous fun going through all of those massive archives and watching our video casts and overall just being, being a useful human being and not a complete waste of space like many of you are, including myself, sometimes. Until tonight at 10, let that be a lesson to you, 10 Pacific.
Yeah!
Phil Hendry.